evening to the board members and the public and my fellow cabinet members. We're going to talk to you today about our 2013 CST STAR data. I want to talk to you a little bit about examining trends in data. This is just a little bit of an example. When we look at data, we've had the CST STAR system for longer than 10 years, but it's been a more solid system for the last 10 years. As you saw when we shared with you the information on the STAR development in the first board report that we did, or that I did anyway, in end of July with Ms. Valentine and Ms. Kaplan. The reason I show you this is to see how if we were to examine a single point in time, we might react one way. But when we look at this particular graph and we see this graph over time, the overwhelming piece can be, when you look at it, that we see it going up. Certainly we want to look at specific instances and what was happening, but overall when we examine our data, we want to look at it over the long term and not react to just a single event that happens with our data. Now what I'd like to do is have Mr. Lessiger come over and give us some history.
Okay, good evening everyone. We want to do the same thing with our CST data and look at the trends over time, not just a moment in time or just 1 year. This bar graph represents a period of 8 years of API data. In 2006, the district's API was 761 compared to the state API of 721. We were ahead of the state, and over the next 3 years, the increase is parallel. But in 2010, our district starts to widen the gap between the district and the state, ending at 830, well exceeding the goal of 800. Our annual yearly progress, the AYP, which shows the number of students that are proficient or advanced in ELA, shows a similar upward trend parallel to the state. In 2003, 38.3% of our students were proficient, just slightly higher than the state. In 2011, we start to widen the gap again and outshine the state by 10.8%. Some of the highlights that we can be very proud of reflect groups of students showing at least a 3% increase in proficiency over a three-year period. We can see a trend when looking at 3 years. African Americans show a gain of 5.2%, and Hispanics show a gain of 3.2%, and the socioeconomically disadvantaged students show a gain of 3.1%. While we had slight increases in other subgroups, 3% shows a strong trend. The grade level data reflects a gain of 4.9% in 5th and 8.7% in 6th. And at secondary, 7th grade shows a gain of 4.6%.
Those are the CST ELA results, mm-hmm. The difference?
Mm-hmm. The highlights.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? On the AYP. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay, now looking at the three-year period in language arts, we have some challenges. The progress of our EL students are on watch through our Title III plan, so some questions come to mind. The progress of our EL and special ed students appears flat, so we ask ourselves how we are addressing EL needs through the Title III plan. How consistently and effectively is our ELD plan implemented? How are we meeting the individual needs of our students with disabilities? When taking a close look at our grade level data, we show a decrease in second grade proficient students by 10%. So we ask ourselves, what's changing? The curriculum? Is it the instruction? Is it the population? And then again, in the eighth grade, appears to be flat with only a 0.3% increase. So we have to ask ourselves again, what's changing? Is it the curriculum, the instruction, the population? And how are we addressing reading needs in the middle school? So now we'll look at our mathematic results for our AYP. Over the same 10-year span that we looked at for ELA, in 2003, we show only a 1.8% difference between West Covina and the state proficiency rate. We have a similar parallel upward trend as in ELA until 2011 when we start to widen the gap at 8.2%. Again, there are bright spots in our students' progress in mathematics over the past 3 years. Our special education students showed a gain of 3.1%. And once again, our fifth grade has excelled by increasing proficiency by 5.6%. Eighth grade Algebra 1 shows an increase of 3.6%, and grade 10 reflects a 16.1% increase on the KC Math. The 70.7% there you see at the bottom reflects the number of students proficient with a scale score of 380 or higher, not the number with a passing rate of 350. Grade level proficiency continues to be our goal for all the students taking the KC. So some of our math challenges that need to be examined in some of our subgroups and grade levels. There was very little change in most of our ethnic subgroups, meaning just a 1 to 2% change, but our Asian group dropped 3%. Our EL and special ed subgroups remained flat, so we have to ask ourselves again, how are we addressing EL needs with academic vocabulary? How are we balancing math needs with ELA needs? And when we look at the grade level data, grade 2 shows a decrease of 9.6% and 7th grade a decrease of 4.4%. So what's changing? The curriculum, the instruction, or the population? And how is the difference between 6th and 7th grade standards being addressed? So these are questions that we need to ask ourselves as well as our principals and have further discussions to address these. Now back to the API. This bar graph shows the outstanding work accomplished at each school site and the increase of API over the past 10 years. Walnut Grove and Edgewood High reflect the opening until 2013. And remember, the goal at the state level was to have an API or higher. So now we're at the end of an era, and we can celebrate 10 years of the STAR. 11 out of our 15 schools achieved the goal of 800 or greater, as well as the school district as a whole. Schools continue to increase their API even after achieving the goal of 800. And we have a KC pass rate of over 90% compared to 84% statewide. We recognize three schools this year whose API increased. And to celebrate 10 years of success with all schools, all schools will receive banners on Thursday, recognizing a decade of hard work and dedication to our students. So now I'm going to have Mrs. Hawkins lead us into the Common Core.
Thank you, Cheryl. All right, so now what we need to do is we need to talk a little bit about that transition that's happening. So our discussion of the accountability piece earlier brings this home. AB 484 is currently being bantered back and forth, and as Mr. Spence alluded to, lots of emails going back and forth in the media between the federal government and the state government, and where are we going to go exactly with that? Will the CST and the STAR be suspended, or will we go back to the idea of piloting the SBAC and taking the CST for a portion? I can't tell you how many times this slide has changed in the last few days, and even since the draft that you got. Because in essence, though, there will be no scores reported. The scores that we get if we take that pilot won't be reported, and if we only have scores for certain schools or certain grade levels, that's not going to be helpful to us. We know that second grade will not be assessed as Ms. Kaplan mentioned, but we also know that our schools are moving forward with our instructional shifts, and we will begin with our classroom pieces. So you're going to see our curriculum development teams work with the designed and piloted modules that they have. Our writing instruction is kicked off and big with Write for the Future and Beyond, and so we're working with that piece, with our writing piece. We've been doing a lot with close reading. With our math piece, because we don't want to forget about the math pieces, you'll see us working with the mathematical practices with some of the existing curriculum. And then really what we're doing is we need to examine our course sequence for where algebra is appropriately placed based on the Common Core standards. I know that's been a big concern at the secondary level, and we'll start doing that through the curriculum advisory team. So for this year and the coming year, what we want to do is we want to begin to look specifically at the individual students. Our individual students are always been important to us, but now what we want to do is look at those scores for AYP rather than those pieces for API and talk about how do we transition going forward. When we look at the next two slides, again, this shows the AYP, and that's the percent of students that are proficient or advanced in English language arts, which means the number of kids in our schools that can read. When you look at each individual school, there are some great success stories, some challenges, and some points that make you go, hmm. But what we want to do is take a look at, from a district perspective, that 67.5% of our students in ELA are proficient or advanced when they take that test. But that doesn't really tell us the whole story. If you look at those students right there, what that means is about four of them are struggling. They're not proficient or advanced. And our goal is for all of those children. So for the coming year, we've asked KDS, or Key Data Systems, our data people that help us, to develop a list of students, one by one, of all the students for each school at each grade level that were not proficient in ELA. And what you'll find is that the Ed Services team, so Mrs. Lessiker and Mrs. Decker and myself, will be meeting with each one of the principals for each one of the schools to have our data chats this year. When we have those data chats, we'll have that list of students. And what we want to know are, what are the individual supports that we give for each one of those students as we go through? For reading language arts, we'll be focusing on things like decoding skills, students reading at their own instructional grade level. What kinds of before or after school supports can we give? And we'll be using those individual diagnostic informative assessments that you read earlier in Ms. Kaplan's goals, like the SRI and individual reading inventories, to help us determine, are those students being successful and are we meeting their needs in the interventions? Next piece, again, math. We're going to approach it in a very similar manner, and we see a very similar story when we look at the elementary statistics as well as the secondary statistics. We want to ask ourselves, why are some of these things happening? For example, with Walnut Grove, we might ask ourselves, what's different? We see that great climb and that great work that they made this year. We want to ask ourselves what things changed and what things stayed the same. Once again, with math, we've got about 68% of our students who are proficient. And if we do the math for that again, it's still another four kids. But one of the things you might notice from the pictures is two of those kids happen to also be two of the kids that we left in language arts. We're going to do the same process of getting that list of students and looking at the areas that they have needs in, but we need to be sensitive to the fact of, do they need needs in both areas, and how much can we put on a single child in the needs of intervention? We don't want to overwhelm them with that extra support and make sure that we time our interventions in a way that the student is being successful in both areas rather than being overwhelmed with those supports. With mathematics, though, it's not going to help us to teach them to read. We need to look at things like fluency and accuracy. Some kids with their basic facts are very good in a classroom setting. They're not really good in an assessment setting. So they need to work on that fluency and accuracy. Then as we move into the Common Core, we need to look at the conceptual pieces and make sure that students are understanding some of those foundational pieces that they will build on as they move into the Common Core, because that's a big transition. In this case, again, you'll see us using diagnostic informative assessments to see where those kids are currently, what holes they have, how we'll move them forward. Those will come from mainly our publishers' pieces and things that we've used in the past. Finally is an assessment and accountability during the transition. As Ms. Kaplan shared with you in the goals, we have plans that are each of our principals will be writing with meeting with their teachers and their department chairs to develop what are those assessments that they're going to use to hold themselves and the students accountable for making those sorts of gains. Writing will definitely be a component of it. We know that's the way that we'll be moving in the future with our assessments, and we want to keep that piece in the forefront. We also want to give them the opportunity to mirror those SBAC-like assessments as much as we can by using those released items and writing some of those ourselves, so that we're giving our students those experiences on a larger scale, so that when we make that transition to the state assessment for SBAC, we have that. We're looking at about a 6 to 8 week time period for these kinds of assessments, so that the end of modules or the end of units of study. And what we're encouraging them to do is continue to have the same data chats that they would be having in the old model, where we had the CST piece, only talking about those individual assessments for that short time period and where they are with that and how they're moving the students. We recognize, though, that because of the uncertainty with the SBAC and the kinds of CSTs, that our plan needs to be more than for just this year. So what we're looking at is for 2014-15, now we're going to take those modules that our curriculum development teams are putting together and systematize those. So there will be more of those 6 to 8 week pieces with input from our teachers who sit on those committees, so that we have a strong assessment base and make that more consistent across sites with more of a common calendar. you were so gracious as we eliminated those benchmark assessments. We want to bring some of that accountability system back, but we want to make sure we're using the right pieces, and people have had a chance to experiment and see where they would need to go before we choose which assessments we want to use for that. And so we'll build into that in the 14-15 school year. Hopefully, we'll know more about the CST or the STAR or the MAP system, as they're telling us. And my slide won't have to change from 1:30 to 2:35 to 4:30 as we try to tell you what's happening and which piece. I'm in a meeting and my phone's going off and I'm changing it rapidly. So that's our plan. Any questions?